Good morning. Good morning. Always keeping the main thing the main thing. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thanking God for the church. Thanking God for allowing us to wake up this morning in our right minds, having a desire to come out and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Ain't it good to be here? Amen. Not because I'm here, no. Because God is good. Amen. He's good. And somebody said he's good all the time. And someone else said he's good every time. Amen. God is good. He is good. He is good. I want to thank Jerry and the brethren for giving me another opportunity to come out and speak. I hope and pray something said would be a blessing to you in your life. And you could take that blessing and share it with someone else. Amen? Amen. This morning, my subject is, once again, if I don't look at my notes, the brother, he got me all jammed up this morning. Perilous times. Perilous times in the last days. And it's taken from 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I would like to read once again, verse 1 through 5. Perilous times in the last day, part 2. You see, that means we had a part 1 last week. Not the week before, I think it was. Amen. And the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." From such turn away. Perilous time. As we stated last week, some think as perilous time is caused by the floods, and it's caused by famine, or it's caused by earthquakes, or it's caused by sickness and disease. No. Perilous time is caused by man. Amen. But we are the one responsible for this. And this one I like in class what was said about wisdom. God's wisdom was from the beginning. Worldly wisdom just got here. Amen. Should I say that again? God's wisdom was from the beginning. Worldly wisdom just got here. Now, which one do you think is best for us? Amen. The Bible teaches that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of those unbelievers. In other words, the God of this world has a wisdom for the worldly people. And the worldly people is wise because of the God of this world. Amen. You see, the God of this world is that small letter G God, the devil, in other words. You see, Satan, you see, and the world is wise because of Satan. And that's why we are in perilous times today. We have lost our minds. Amen. We have left our first love. We have left God. And because we have done that, once again, we have lost our minds. You see what's on the news these days. I mean, things are happening. You know, instead of us helping our young ones out, you know, helping them out, we're putting them in deeper trouble. Are you with me? You know, instead of us trying to keep them away from sex, we are telling them to listen. If you're going to do it, this is a better way. Now you got abortion that's over the counter. Are you with me? Over the counter abortions. Are you with me? And it's just tempting kids to But I'm going too fast. Last week we spoke about lovers of self. That's selfish. That's one who prides on himself. And then we spoke about covetousness. That's you have a desire to have riches. You have a desire to have other people's riches. You ain't satisfied with what you got. You got to have it all. Are you with me? You got to have it all. And then we spoke about boasters. That means bragging. And then proud. When we get to proud, we spoke about that. And that's a dangerous thing, because the Bible says God hates a proud look. So if God hated, guess what? I ought to hate it too. Guess what? You ought to hate it also if God hates it. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:17, God hates a proud look. In Proverbs 15:25, God will destroy the house of the proud. In Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to God. That's the Bible. Are you with me? So that's telling me something, that we should stay away from being proud. And then we're here now to blasphemers. Blasphemers. Well, blasphemers is one who speak about God in a not holy way. He speaks about things that's is an offense in the way of God, or who swears using the name of God or holy things. One who speak against God. You see, the Bible teaches us that we would have antichrist in the world today. There will be many. Anti means against. Anti means that you don't believe. Now you have false teachers. They teach Christ, but they don't know what they're talking about. Then you have anti, don't teach at all, because they don't believe. They don't believe. There was a story about a lady. She was riding an airplane, and just like she was a Christian. She's a Christian. And she was riding by an atheist on the airplane, and well, she was reading her Bible. The atheist asked her. He said, "What are you reading?" She said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." He said, "Yeah, I know you're reading the Bible, but what are you reading? You know, what are you reading? I know you're reading the Bible." She said, "Oh, okay." She said, "I'm reading the book of Jonah." He said, "You mean you reading that story about the man who got swallowed by a whale and was in the whale for 3 days and he lived?" She said, "Yes." He said, you really believe that?" She said, "Yes, by faith, I believe it." He said, "Do you really, really?" She said, "Yes, by faith, I believe it." He said, "Now, what if it ain't true?" She said, I believe it because of my faith." He said, "Well, how would you ever know whether it's true or not?" She said, "Well, I'll know it's true or not." She said, when I die and go to heaven, I'll ask him." He said, "You know, being facetious," he said, "well, what if he ain't in heaven? What if he's in the other place? What if he's in hell?" She said, "Well, when you die, you ask him." Amen? You see, blasphemers are people who take God lightly. You know, people who don't believe enough, who just don't believe at all, those are the people who are blasphemers. The Bible says the fool, Psalms 14:1, it said the fool says in his heart that there is no God. That's Bible, right? Some people just don't believe. I told you I got this sort of thing going on. Amen? But anyway, the fool in his heart, it says there is no God. There is no God. And you have people who believe that there is no God because it seemed like, you know, all this stuff is happening. It can't be a God that let it happen. I recently told you this story about me, about the thing that happened to me when I was at work, right? I mean, I got into this thing. I mean, it was just outrageous. It just wasn't right, bro. It wasn't right. And I asked the question, you know, I said, you know, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? An answer came to me and says, why not you? Are you with me? Who are you? You know, why not you? And it draw me closer to understanding that there is a God and he is alive. Amen. In him we live and we survive. You know, if God went through it, why? Who am I to not go through it also? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:3-4, the New Living Translation says, first, I want to remind you that in the last days, there will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth and do every evil thing they desire. Verse 4, this will be their argument. Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he if he's promised to come back? Where is he? It goes on to say, why as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. Amen. In other words, people who they call themselves hearing what we say that Jesus is coming soon, Jesus is coming back, but they don't ever see Jesus come back. So why are they, you know, why are they waiting for Jesus? Go ahead on and have fun. Go ahead on and do what you got to do. Amen. As in Noah's time, they was eating, drinking, and, you know, it says that's how it would be these days. You see, but we as Christians, we are on the alert. We're trying to be like the virgins, those five wise virgins who waiting on the our suitor to come. Amen. We're waiting. We have gotten wise. We understand that he may not come today. He might not come tomorrow. But then again, we also think of it like this: he may come today, or he may come tomorrow. Amen. We just want to be ready when he calls me. That was a song. I used to love that song, that bass. I want to be ready. But anyway, we ought to be ready. You see, the point of our salvation lies in believing in something only God knows. Amen. Believing in something only God knows. That's faith when you believe that. And we're living in perilous times, and we're putting ourselves in perilous times. We're doing it to ourselves. We dug a hole and got stuck in the hole. Now we try to dig ourselves out of the hole. And each time we dig, we go deeper and deeper and deeper because we try to answer a lot of things without God. Amen. We try to answer it out of our own wisdom. As we were speaking this morning about wisdom, God, the wisdom of God was at the beginning. The wisdom of this world just came here. Amen. Came a little later. Are you with me? So our wisdom should be in the Lord, in God. And then we get to disobedience of parents. This is a very serious situation. Perilous times in these last days. Children, our children are our future. And if we don't do something about it, we ain't going to have no future. Amen? We're not going to have no future. The children is very important. Very important. Disobedient to parents. Disobedient is defined as a failure or result to obey rules or someone in authority. Ultimately, it is going against what God has commanded in his word and disobeying how he wants us to live. Disobedience is a rebellion against God, or simply not just trusting that God knows best. You see, disobedience started in the garden. I believe disobedience was the first sin orchestrated by the devil. and he's still out here orchestrating disobedience. Amen? For our children. And our children is turning around being disobedient to us, wherein when our children is disobedient to us, it causes a bad relationship between us. Amen? And this is very important that we get to them. You see? Because Satan is taking away our future. If we don't have no future, are you with me? You know, everybody, most of the people in here are 80 and over. You know? And if we don't do something about that, right, we're going to soon be 90 and over. Are you with me? And if we live longer, we're going to be 100 and over. And ain't going to be no future. Are you with me? We got to do something about our young. And like the book says, disobedient. Our children, it's a lot of our children are disobedient. And the question is, why? Why are they disobedient? Why? You see? The answer is, when we would neglect to teach them the way of God, that's what happened. Are you with me? When we neglect to teach them the way of God, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Are you with me? Man got a way. You see, as we spoke before, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers, has blinded their eyes. When you're blind, you can't see. Are you with me? And the blind is leading the blind. And it says if the blind lead the blind, they both going to fall in the ditch. Amen? And what's happening is that the world is following the God of this world and not getting what God has for them to get. Amen? They're not getting it. You see, what's happening is that they're following the devil in his way because the Bible teaches about there's pleasure in sin. You know, having a good time. You've been there before. You know, you go out to them clubs, you have a good old time. You know, and you come back and you have a good old time. You know. You know, and the next morning you still there, you know, but there's a good time that's bad for us. That kind of good time is bad for us. And we as Christians have to recognize what's good and bad that we might distribute it to our children. You see, because our children is in trouble with the teaching that's being taught today. Even in our schools, things is being taught that shouldn't be taught. Are you with me? Things are being taken out that shouldn't be taken out. Amen? And then what happened is parents, the worldly parents, in other words, they look at their children like this. Grown and gone. Are you with me? That's how they see it, grown and gone. But we look at the children a little bit different. Amen? The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up. Train up. Amen? Train up. What the world train them when they get up. Are you with me? But the Bible teaches us to train them up. Are you with me? You know, recognize a little baby in a mother's arm. Are you with me? And that baby get used to that mother, and that's the first love. Are you with me? That's that first love. That's the first person that baby knows is the mother. Are you with me? That's that first love. And the mother would teach that baby to eat. And are you with me? That mother ain't going to teach the baby to eat when they get up here, right? Because the baby might not... Yeah, amen. But and the mother would teach that baby how to talk. Not, are you with me? Train them up, right? That mother would teach that baby to creep, crawl, and walk? Are you with me? So we're supposed to teach the baby up, train them up. Are you with me? Can you imagine, you know, like I said, so the people, the worldly people who to teach them when they get up. Can you imagine teaching a 6'7" boy? Let me tell you something. Next time you do that, I will be, you know, are you with me? You mess around if you want to. Are you with me? But that's how it is. You see, they don't listen to God training them up. Are you with me? They want to teach them when they get up here, when it seems like they're teachable now. But you know, old dog, you don't teach new tricks. But anyway, bring them up, train them up. And that's where a lot of parents, and me, I've failed also. You know, I ain't all of that, right? But we train them up, and they will remember where they were, and they will come back if they should leave. Amen? But a lot of parents, worldly parents, say, I just don't have the time. You know, I want them grown and gone. Are you with me? You know, hurry up and get out of the house. Are you with me? Not thinking of the future, of our spiritual future, because a worldly person don't even think about a spiritual future. They just think about a future. When they do good things for, you know, they do good things for their kids. You know, they take care of them. They you know, make sure they go to college, get a good education, get a good job. Are you with me? But they don't teach them spiritual things. The boy, he goes to college, he goes off, and he gets married. You know what they call it? Lope, right? And he calls home and says, Mom, I'm married. You know, Dad, I'm married. Okay. So, and I'll be home. I'm me and my bride, we're going to be home this weekend. Okay. The boy comes home. The doorbell ring. Mom's opening the door. Her son standing up there with Tyrone. Now, what has been taught to that young man? Are you with me? Are you with me? And the reason why she knew Tyrone, because Tyrone lived a couple blocks down. Are you with me? And this boy standing up with Tyrone saying, this is my wife. Are you with me? This is what's taught. The world is teaching our children. And because of that, Satan is having his way with them, and we're losing our future. But we as Christians, we teach them the truth. This is what we teach them. And fathers, in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them, once again, up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are you with me? Bring them up. Bring them up. Not wait till they get up and teach them, but bring them up. Are you with me? That's what God is telling his children. It says, ye father, provoke not your children to wrath. That means, you know, we have to be careful, because I'm going to tell you, we could say some things that could hurt our children just as worse as is abusing them with a stick. Are you with me? And we don't want to do that. You see, we don't want them to be mad at us. We want them to take this thing on to their children. You see, because it's not just about them getting it, but them teaching it what? To their children, and their children to their children. On and on and on. Are you with me? But if we provoke them, then they're going to be mad. And if they're bitter, they're going to be disobedient to us. Amen? A girl, she came out, and stated that when she was young, her father was sexually abusing her. And she said she couldn't shake it. She was bitter. Are you with me? She was bitter. And she said she just gave up on herself. And she said she would let a man do anything that he wanted to do with her. She just didn't care. Are you with me? She just didn't care. And she said she was mad at her mother for letting it happen. She was mad at her father for him making it happen. Are you with me? She was bitter. And one of us came by, a child of God, one of us, a Christian, came by and talked to her and got her straight. And now she's a Christian now. And she said she had forgiven her father and she had forgiven her mother. And she's living a good life with a family, with children. Amen? With a family, with children. Because she's okay now. But this is also telling us that provoke not our children to wrath. It many ways of provoking them to wrath. Are you with me? It's many ways. And we have to remember, as Christians, remember the Bible says that if you can't forgive, God will not forgive you. So we don't want to do that to our children, do we? And we want to teach them to teach that to their children. Are you with me? You know, because it's very important. Our future is in trouble. I mean, our kids is leaving us by the wayside. You know, it's just the teaching that they're getting and the promotions or whatever that they're getting. It ain't good for them. Are you with me? It ain't good for them. It's not good for them at all. The new translation of Ephesians 6:4 is don't make your children angry by the way you treat them, but bring them up in the discipline and the instructions approved by the Lord. Discipline and instructions approved by the Lord. When that word discipline comes up, they quickly think about beating, and I'm not going to beat my child. That's what they would say, right? But God said to beat them. God said to discipline them. Now, I don't believe that. You know, you have some Christians actually saying, you know, but I just want to help you. I'm going to give you today what I got. Are you with me? And it's on you. Are you with me? After that, all I can do is give you what I got. Because God's word is real. It's true. And ain't no need for me to change it and say, Lord, look, let me speak to you, you know, because, you know, we don't beat kids. This is the, you know, are you with me? Now, like I said before, train them up. You don't beat no kid when they are here. Are you with me? Don't do that, people. And don't say Brother Patterson told you to do that, because I did not tell you to do that. Are you with me? I didn't tell you to hit them boys when they all up there like that. But it says train them up. Spank them, train them up. But that discipline, a lot of people don't understand what God was saying. Amen? He didn't say abuse your children. He said train them up. Discipline them. Discipline them that they might not die. That death means hell. Are you with me? You don't want them to die because of what this world is teaching them now. You want them to have a closed ear to that and an open ear to righteousness. Amen? Amen. And the book speaks about discipline, and then it speaks about the rod. And when it says rod, that's when a lot of people get kind of scared. It says, you know, oh, now I ain't going to be beating my child with no rod, but it may not be what you're thinking about. This is what I got. The Old Testament using primarily three Hebrew words to refer to that wooden stick, that rod. The first is Megel. M-A-G-G-E-L. It refers to a tree branch that has been transformed into a riding crop. And then there's Matei. M-A-T-T-E-H. Refers to a branch, a stick, a stem, a rod, shaft, staff, somewhat. And then you have Shevet. S-H-E-V-E-T. This is the Hebrew word used in Proverbs. It refers to the staff, a stick, a rod, a scepter. Amen. The stick, that switch. Amen. How many of you know about the switch? Amen. I see a lot of hands, and then I don't see some hands. Y'all know about the switch? But anyway, that switch is, you know, you remember that switch on the tree, you know, that little, amen? You know, that sometimes you had to go and get. You remember? You had to go and get it. And you try to get the worst one and come back with it, and you had to go back out and get it again. Amen? That switch, that's what it is. Not a rod that you're going to kill some child with, are you with me? But a switch or a spanking. That's the rod, the discipline. That's that. That don't mean, you know, you're going to knock a kid out because he don't or she don't do what you say. That's abuse. Thank you, bro. That's abuse. Abuse our kids. Amen. But we're in perilous times, and we need to get to them before they die. Are you with me? Before they go to the wrong place. And then we need to get to them so they can what? Get to their children. So their children can get to their children. We got to teach them God's way because we are in perilous times. These perilous times is something else. Are you with me? Like I said, some parents, worldly parents, they will say, go to school and learn. Are you with me? And then, you know, and when they come home, tell me what you learned, you know. And they probably forgot, you know, or whatever. But this is what happens. And I'm not going to be too long, right? So this, hold your eyes open for a little while longer. Amen. This, you know, just bear with me for a little while. Discipline is in God's word for us to discipline our children. God disciplines us, his children. And we don't tell God, now you know that, you know, now you beat me harder than you beat Jared. That ain't right. Are you with me? You know, that it just ain't right, Lord. Are you with me? Uh-uh. God disciplined us according to. Are you with me? And when he disciplined us, he wants us to stop what we're doing. Are you with me? What does it take for us to stop? Are you with me? What does it take for us to stop doing what we're doing? He disciplines us. He disciplined those whom he loved. The Bible says, no discipline seemed to be pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Amen? That's what the book says. And the Proverbs 23:13-14 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod, and you will save his soul from death. Are you with me? And that's what we want to do. We want to save our children from death. We want to save our grandkids from death. And if we are allowed to have great-grandkids from death, and if we are allowed to have great-great-grandkids, are you with me? And this is the church speaking, not the world. The world just want them grown and gone. Are you with me? But we want some more. We want them to be saved. Are you with me? We want our children to be saved because, like I said, everybody in here, over 80, it seems like. Are you with me? And we need some younger people up in here. Are you with me? Up in the churches of Christ, in the churches of God, we need them. Are you with me? Because, you know, sooner or later, we ain't going to be able to. A lot of us, you know, speaking now, you know, of my leg hurting, my hip hurting, and are you with me? And where are those children to take over? We need them to, you know, spiritually to take over. So spiritually, we have to teach them spiritually so they would know spiritual things. Amen? We have to teach them. And discipline is a necessity for our children. Amen. It's necessary. Discipline. Are you with me? But at a, are you with me? Not. Amen. Train them up. Train them up in the admonition and the nurturing of the Lord. Train them up. Train them up. Not when they get up here. Are you with me? You go home and hit that boy 6'8" and then come back and want to fight me. I'm like, what you told me to hit him for? I ain't told you to do that. Don't do that. Amen. When they're up there, it's another training. Because, see, some of us, we wouldn't train from. Amen. And I know. I ain't got a point finger. Yeah, I could point it at myself. I wouldn't train, you know. My mom did tell me about Christ, and I thank her for that. My dad did tell me about Christ, but they didn't train me up as the Bible said to train me up. I got it later on. Praise be to God that there were some Christians out there who cared enough to tell me the truth. Are you with me? It could happen. You see, with God, all things is possible. Amen. But you know, we say that. They say that spare the rod, spoil the child, right? Now we say that, but that's not really in the Bible. It don't say that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It does not say that. Are you with me? This is what it says. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him be time, or the proper time. See, be times means when he do something, get him right there. Are you with me? You know, it's like if you're looking at General Hospital, your son over there messing with the electrical outlet, right? You come in, boy, as soon as this General Hospital, I'm going to get you. As soon as General Hospital go off, I'm going to get you, right? Are you with me? You know, you get him right then, because that child is doing something that he ain't got no business doing. Now, I'm not telling you to beat your child for everything. No. That's not what the Bible is saying. It's like the example of an electrical outlet. If he's over there messing with that, you gotta stop him. You gotta stop him. You can't say, "Don't do that, Johnny." Now you know that's wrong. Come on over here. I love you so much. You gotta stop him. It's just like God stops us. Are you with me? He stop us because he don't want us to what? Go to that place. He want that everyone should be saved. Amen? And like I said, I'm you know, I see them eyes, you know. Yeah, you know, I got it. Be quiet, Brother Pastor. Discipline. It doesn't wrong. Discipline them when there is hope. Are you with me? Bible says Proverbs 19:18. Discipline while there is hope, and not let thy soul spare for their crying. Are you with me? Because sometimes they could start crying, and we, you know, "Oh, Johnny, I'm so sorry I beat you. Come here, son." Are you with me? You gotta say, you know, you deserve it. You got what you got. Because God is not going to tell us that he's sorry for disciplining us. Amen? In closing, I see a lot of people smiling. You know, in closing, you see, when we don't do God's way, do it God's way, we get what we ask for, a disobedient child. We get what we ask for. Someone has said it like this. What we see is what we say. What we say is what we sow. What we sow is what we reap. What we reap is what we get. And what we get is what we deserve. Amen? You see, we got to do it God's way. As a Bible class this morning was speaking about wisdom, God's wisdom was from the beginning. Man's wisdom just got here. Just got here. And man is looking for a way. You know, like how sometimes we say stuff like this, God makes a way out of no way. I say it sometimes, but we want to be careful. You know, this is from me to you. God don't have to make a way God is the way. Man make a way. Man looks for a way. Are you with me? Well, God has the way already. All we have to do is take that way. We don't have to say, wonder which way should I get it? Are you with me? God has the way. But we say it. Yes, we do. God makes a way out of no way. But man, he's the one who makes that way. Oh, he looks for a way. He looks for a way. Are you with me? But when we do it God's way, when we do it his way, we come out on top. Are you with me? Now I'm not saying that all our children is gonna, you know, but do it God's way. You see, at least you've done it his way. Are you with me? Because, like I said, we teach our children to teach their children to teach their children to teach their children. If we don't, we're not going to have a future. We won't have a future. We won't have a future. If you're here and you're not a member of the church, there's some steps you must take to become a member. You must hear God's word. You can't get around that. You must believe what you heard. You must repent of your way and turn to God's way. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay steadfast in God's grace after that. You must come to worship. You must come to worship. You can't get around it. You must give. You must commune. Amen. You must teach, and you must be teachable. Amen. Amen. You must preach. We must love. Amen. And you can't get around that. If you are here and you are a member and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing, you may ask for prayer at this time.